Okay, good morning. I'm Chairman Brad Holton. I'll bring the meeting to order. We have a 10:30 agenda item. We're getting started at 10:37. With that, let's open the meeting to receive the clerk's quarterly report. Present is Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Van Beek. And with that, good morning, clerk. Or Kyle, whoever's going to take away.
Kyle's going to take point on this, and then I'll have some like closing comments on the backside. So.
Okay.
Morning, Chairman, Commissioners. We're here to present the quarterly budget report for the second quarter of FY25, so that be the time frame covering January through March of the fiscal year, which we consider the halfway point for most. In typical fashion, we've provided a summary and detail level report. I'll probably reference the detail level version of that in going through the few points that we've highlighted, just to point out and share. And then as the clerk commented, he'll follow up with some additional information on some trends and other things that the clerk is very adept at compiling. First thing just to talk about is that we are halfway through the year. Some revenues and expenditures will they will mimic that halfway point, but others have a seasonality impact to them. So some stuff was either collected or fully expended earlier, or it'll be later in the third or fourth quarter. So some of the items, when you do look at them, they may appear high or low, but some of that is just strictly because of when the revenue and the expenses come for that specific fund when looking at some of the items in here. Another thing just to take into consideration is we just got our liquor distro not too long ago, and those are kind of trending about 5% less than where they were last year, according to the communication that we received from the state regarding our liquor distribution. And then also in the same line with that, our sales tax distribution, we're planning, just judging by the numbers that the state's released the last few months on collections for revenue, they've been a little bit under what the state was projecting. Sales tax is down, and I believe some of the other tax categories, the DFM tracks as well, is down. But we did budget sales tax conservatively for FY25, so hopefully we should still be able to meet that expectation. With that.
Okay, just briefly, Kyle.
So go for it.
So I've sent you the link to get the information, the Idaho Division of Financial Management, just briefly for the record. That's Lori Wolf is the director. It's under the governor's office. It used to be Alex Adams. So they basically compile monthly reports, and like there's a couple things we look at, and this is out of their most recent report for March. And they have a predictive analysis, and so sometimes they what they cite is where the difference is based on their prediction. They were actually predicting increases, which they're not realizing, but the concern I have isn't so much necessarily the bottom line miss for the state, it's really the sales tax piece. So I just want to be clear that sales tax is the piece that we have some skin in the game, because we get part of the sales tax. So for March, you'll see sales tax revenue was $156 million last year. March this year was $151. They were predicting $174, so that's where it's showing that they're off of their prediction line. But we budgeted, as Controller Wilmot said, we budgeted slightly less than what we actually realized last year. So we'll see what these trends are, but it's not going to have a negative effect so far looking initially. But if these trend lines continue to stay negative for the next two quarters, then it's possible we will see revenue lower than what we budgeted. So it's really the sales tax line. They have a Power BI kind of chart here. This is their total revenues on this slider, which doesn't. So you'll see September, the blue is actual, the kind of beige is what they predicted. And September they beat, October below, November slightly below, December was good. But then January, February, March, we see a 3 months in a row where their revenues have been less than what they predicted. So it's just something we're keeping an eye on. But our next quarterly distro will not probably be, we're just anticipating the next quarterly distro, which is not reflected in this revenue report for this quarterly. It will be in the next quarter report. It's probably going to be less than the prior year based on what the state is showing, that their sales tax revenues for that quarter were less than the prior year. anyhow, sorry for that interjection. I just wanted to sort of educate and inform as well. This is information that you can kind of track on your own as well, so.
Okay.
So one of the first things to note, is just under a revenue line for the courthouse. We originally budgeted 34 grand to receive from SPD for reimbursement for their usage of the admin building across the street. As the clerk received, I think it was 2 weeks ago, a week ago, we received communication from the state public defender that for three quarters of our fiscal year, we'll be able to seek reimbursement for utilities only, not janitorial or any other services like that. So we submitted that first invoice in line with that for October through March. So the revenue that we had budgeted for, we will be coming in probably a good chunk underneath that just because of how SPD appears to be going about reimbursing the counties for facilities that the public defender's office is utilizing. So I just wanted to note that because we have zero on there, and that amount probably will be probably only about 8,000, 10,000 maybe that we'll receive from them just for strictly utilities, their percentage of usage of that for that building. The next item is related to also just courthouse and courthouse. And just looking at a number of their capital expenditure lines. Get the page here. It's page 7 of the detailed sheet. A number of those lines are either fully utilized or a little bit over, especially with Director, with Ricky, sorry. Some of those were due to unforeseen costs, like over in Juvenile, I know there was a metal detector that had to be replaced that was unforeseen, as well as some upgrades to some sanitation devices that were being brought up to date, meet standards, current standards for that. So I know that was also something that was unforeseen ongoing with that. But also just talking, stuff gets moved around, and I know they've been working with our office as well, just to sometimes the budget is in one category, and then when we see it, it's like, oh, this needs to go in this category, or even inside Director Britton's own office, like, oh, yeah, this should probably be here and there. So it's more of looking at the overall picture, but in this as well, we were just looking at individual lines as well. But in the end, hopefully it should come in either at or under overall between the operating and capital, but just something to note when we're going through this. The next item was just related to fleet. They're also just utilizing a number of line items related to oil and some equipment items. Reaching over and speaking with fleet, that was just due to a bunch of purchases or a bunch of items being purchased up front. A number of those related to vehicles that we're equipping for the county. And in speaking with the director there as well, oil was purchased up front this year to where last fiscal year it was not, so the bulk of that is, no pun intended, bulk oil. It is all taken care of already for the fiscal year, but that was just something that, in looking at from 1 year to the next, was different in its usage points with that. Next, I'm just looking at landfill, the fees that they've collected there. Obviously, their fee schedule was adjusted. With landfill increasing fees for that. I just wanted to make note that compared to this point last year, they're at $3.3 million. This year, they're about $4.4 million. But the budget of what we've received and what was budgeted is about in line because we were at 44% last year. We're at 45% this year. So we are in line with budgeting the revenues that were expected to be received for that. And then one item that I already had on here, but Director Loper brought it to our attention in his last meeting was just the transaction fees related to credit card services was higher in its utilization this year. But as Director Loper pointed out in his discussion with you all, there was a little bit of fee increase from the processor with that. But there also is going to be an increase because we are processing more money coming through there as well. So if it's a percentage base, we bring in more money, then there'll be more money distributed to the processor as well. So I won't belabor that anymore since that was an item that was pointed that I was going to point out as well, and he kind of stole my thunder from that, I guess. another, the next item would just be related to district court. We were looking at their copier contract. It was at about 88% usage up to this standpoint. And in reviewing that, Sarah and I, in speaking also with IT, we realized that the items that were purchased should be in the 6,000s in capital. So that's an adjustment that we were making, and we were working with IT to adjust that and get that reflected in the budget for the county as well. So that was something that was a useful exercise in going through this, because we noticed that it was something that just needed to be adjusted and put into a different line on the budget to more accurately reflect what it is. And then in turn, because of that, we're going to double check and make sure to go through other lines for other funds as well to make sure that some of those copier and printer items are associated with these 6,000 expense lines to the 5,000. So like I said, good result from the quarterly report in that setting. The next item would be the PA's office and their salary line for temporary staffing there. It's already at about 95% utilization. And speaking with the PA's office, they're going to probably utilize that more. They're trying to figure out, in using part-time versus temporary employees, there's obviously different usage of how much they can work per week. That is something that they take into consideration with that. But I know that we're working with the PA's office, and also hopefully for the FY26 budget, get that more set up properly if it needs to be more temporary budgeting versus part-time. So that's something that we were discussing with the PA's office at this standpoint. Rolling over under Justice Fund, one of the revenue lines that was down a little bit this year over last was the board and room. We're on page 27 there. excuse me. This was at about $813,000 at this point last year, and we're sitting at a little bit under $500,000, so $319,000 less than the prior year with that. Obviously, that's could be a number of factors, but it's also just impacting, you know, how many inmates that we have from the state. So it could be up and down. That's obviously very sporadic. It could be sporadic in that sense, but just something to note. Was kind of a big drop off from Q2 of the prior year. Another item just related to justice. We mentioned it in the Q1 presentation last year, but just the overtime line for justice, they're almost at 91% utilization of that line. And last year they were at $213,000 after Q2, and they're at $430,000. I know this is something that the clerk and I we discussed with Chief Hart, I believe, might have been last month. So they're aware, and I don't remember if there was a solution to that, but
I don't recall a solution. I know that they're changing the shifts.
Yeah.
So they're hoping that they would alleviate a little bit, but it's possible that they just misestimated in the budget what the overtime line should be. But at the same time, when you compare this year over year, I think they're trending higher. And I know that they added for the current fiscal year maybe just 3 new FTEs. So it appears that the overtime there's higher usage of overtime this year that isn't just based on employee count. So I would defer to the sheriff to give you an explanation on whether this trend will continue, but obviously, if it was a very small line item, would it be as concerned? But it's $475,000. They're at $430,000 through the first half of the year. So, if that duplicates in the second half, then they're going to be over by several hundred thousand dollars at least on that A line. So,
Chairman, part of that, we'd have to look more, but when we did the jail tour, the captain indicated that he had a number of officers out on post, I think 7 or 9. And so with that, they have to staff the jail, so there are people willing to pick up those kind of overtime hours. So hopefully that's a first quarter, second quarter kind of happening, and that will level off once they get through post. But
yeah, Mr. Chair, I was just going to say the same thing. When we did that jail tour, there's like six or seven individuals going post in one shot, so the overtime burn was just covering those shifts.
Right.
So that should tailor off.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brad. Then just the last item, while it is small in nature, I was joking with the treasurer when I was speaking with her yesterday on her postage line being a little high and over what was budgeted. But that is due to them sending out reminders, correct?
Delinquent reminders,
which the county is, we didn't do in the past, correct? Or we did, but
we have
not
started in the last couple of years.
Okay.
Reminder notices.
So they're sending more of those out, and so because of there'll just be an increased cost, that's something that we are working with the treasurer to make sure another one of those line items that for FY26 is budgeted more appropriately in that manner. I do know with the increased costs, but with us sending out those reminders, we are collecting more more revenue with sending those out, so it's more of a benefit related to the cost.
That was my question, Mr. Chairman, if the juice was worth the squeeze on that.
Yes.
It is worth sending the reminders?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not going postal.
And I would say just in general, those are just the line items I was going to point out. When you do look at it, you will see there will be some of the like salary items, they may be higher, but that's just because, you know, we may have the market adjustment or compensation line, there'll be the increase. So you have to take all of those into consideration together when looking at the totality of those budget lines related to payroll. And I know just from, I'd also just like to add that with being here a little bit longer and going through more of these quarterly reports and that, I know there was a couple other things that I was able to work with Sarah. And we were able to find some items just to adjust to make just more of an accurate standpoint from our end of things like that. So it's been nice from my standpoint to start to keep having more and more and a better understanding of how everything's working with the county and the intricacies of that. And I know that these quarterly reports will be something that'll be more utilized on a weekly, if not like by a monthly basis to kind of see. Because I know there's a couple things where we just found wasn't necessarily an error, it's just how something got entered in communication, and we just need to adjust it to put it in the right line. Like maybe, like when a new EO comes on board, for example, treasurer, just making sure that how she's lined up in ADP reflects accurately on the budget. So that was one thing that we were able to just catch from looking at it. But that's an easy, simple adjustment from our side of the street. So.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, do you have a question? Could you go to page 26? It shows revenues under the sheriff. And I think there's some revenues in there that's actually juvenile detention. The school breakfast program, school lunch, operating cigarette tax. I wasn't sure if that's supposed to be in the sheriff revenue lines. So it's the end of 26, page 27.
Yeah, the juvenile center?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is all that in the right revenue in the report?
It should be under the juvenile center, under the just kind of sheriff's umbrella. I think we've...
Yeah, that might need to be looked at to be shifted.
Because that's technically a board.
Oh, I gotcha.
Is the expense also under sheriff? Under juvie center? Or just on the revenue side? Okay.
So that just might need to be an adjustment.
Well, we have juvie center here under salaries and benefits, so.
Maybe combined?
Yeah, so we'll pull that out.
Okay.
Steve helped in creating this, so I'm going to look to him to do an adjustment.
It just might need to be an adjustment where it is on the sheet or on the.
Steve, what did you do this time?
It's just the organizational arrangement of that. We'll pull that out.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense to me.
But other than that, that's from my end of things. That's all I have. I know the clerk has some additional items as well, if you don't have any other kind of questions on that.
Not at the moment.
I'll just thank you, Kyle. There are part of the cleanup in the auditor's office and making sure things are placed right is also an informative process for the budget managers in each division to know how to budget better for next year. There are some items, in fact, I was talking to Sarah this morning because under elections we had, there's two different codes for software, for example, but if it's under 15,000, it should go under one. If it's over 15,000, it should go under another based on whether that threshold is met. And so, for example, we budgeted 50,000 under one line, and then there was a cost that just came in right under 15,000. So technically it went to another line that we didn't budget anything for, but it's not going to affect our bottom line because it's just a coding issue. But I met with Haley and said, okay, so next year we need to just clean that up so that the 50,000 split up better. So what I have here is this is 14 years worth of just quarterly two expenses relative to the budget, just to kind of show where we're at as far as utilization. We are through 25 at 43.45% spend, which is higher than the average. If you take the 14 years and average it, it's the second highest of 2020, which was 44.72% through. Keep in mind, part of this does include the $3 million that was authorized for the health insurance, self-insurance fund transfer. So if you were to roll that $3 million out, then you know it adjusts differently. But that was a cost that was incurred. So the green line here is just the percent of utilization throughout. And so you'll notice we have 3 years in a row where we're trending kind of pretty similar as far as the utilization rate through the first half. If you look at some of this is a bigger spreadsheet here. When you look at like the last couple of years through quarter two, one way is to think just multiply that by two and that's how we're going to end the year. And that's not the case. So just so you know, over 14 years, the second half spending, at least historically, has been higher than the first half spending. So some of that might be based on the timing of certain procurement items, but historically throughout, never have you just take the first half and just multiply it by two and say that's probably where we're going to end the year. We will end the year higher than just multiplying the first half by two. So I just, from an expectations level standpoint, so the last couple years, for example, were pretty similar, where 23, we were 42.5%, for example, through quarter two, and then ended the year at 91.86%, and then last year was 91.83%. So this year we're trending, I expect based on a multiplication ratio, we'll probably end somewhere between 94 to 96% utilization spend at the end of the year. And again, part of that is the $3 million expenditure on the health trust was an infusion. If you were to not incur that expense, then it would probably be similar to the last prior 2 years. So that's just more a projection. I just don't want to take the first half and just multiply by two and think that that's a realistic expectation of how the year will end. This is the revenue versus expenditures, this page here that I have. I'll just say it's slightly concerning because the revenues over expenses, the revenues are higher than the expenses, which they've always been except for 2023, and that was by design. But the increment that we're over here, you'll see kind of a chart, $923,000 is what our revenues were higher than our expenses. Again, part of our expenses include that $3 million for the health insurance trust. So if you were to roll that out, but as a percent of the budget's also getting larger. I think I'm projecting over the next two quarters that we'll end the year at some point with spending more, which was how we were budgeted, to spend more money than what our revenues are. So we're gonna be burning some level of fund balance. So I could say halfway through the year, pretty confident that based on the trend lines, the way we'll spend the second half of the year, we'll use some level of fund balance, especially if we're spending 95% of our budget, which we might end at. That's going to be higher utilization. So this will inform to some degree the budget process, but it's just we're halfway through the year, but it's misleading to just take halfway through the year and just multiply it by two. So for the trend lines, I think quarter three, you'll see things will start to uptick a little bit and we'll get a more accurate picture. But by the time we do the next quarterly report, we'll be well into budget planning. So it's really just trying to understand what the effect on fund balances will be. Revenues have been better as of late. So if you were to talk about a trend within, for some areas, DSD, I was concerned that they started the quarter slow and they picked up. I know that some fees kicked in last month, but there was some positive signs even prior to the fees kicking in for DSD. So that was encouraging because I was concerned that that would maybe be potentially a miss. And right now it looks like they're on track. I know the recorder's office generates a lot of revenue and that's looking pretty good as far as the revenue lines in the recorder's office. The other thing to keep an eye on that I know that the assessor was pointing out was just the vehicle licensing trends, just based on changes in behavior, consumer behavior of how much is renewed online compared to coming in. That's something else to probably keep a close eye on and how we budget for next year. But there's, you know, changes there. But the DSD revenues have looked better, so I'm more encouraged by that. But if they were lagging for a second quarter, I'd be pretty concerned and say that, you know, because it's not an insignificant amount of money what the revenue is in DSD. So I think those are just my add-on comments, just to kind of supplement, I guess, for the quarterly report. So we stand for any questions that you might have, but that's all we have to say.
Chairman.
Yes.
I'm just glad we're getting one. As a historian, now Brandon, I am really thankful that the clerk and the controller put this together. It keeps us in compliance, and these are detailed, and thank you for going through them. The public appreciates it, and so do we.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, Clerk. The issue on the DSD is again, it is a pay-to-play, for the most part, department. And it's illustrative that we are attempting to correct that so it more adequately compensates the cost of that by the application fees. And it shows that we're making a right direction that way.
And Chairman, can I tag on to your comments? I think it shows, too, that even with the increase in fees, that the revenues are not lagging, which means people are still interested in developing their ground. And we are working to make sure that this continues to be a good place to live, work, and play, and that the development in the community doesn't demand higher services from our Sheriff's Department and our fire. So I think that's a win.
Did you see?
I just pulled up here on PowerPoint. You can see, I can't make this bigger. Let's see, April, which again exceeds the scope of the quarterly report because it goes through March, but you'll see the April receipts are higher than the prior year. And then March, they beat the prior year. February, they beat the prior year. January was about a little bit less. And then December, of course, was a lot less. So the concern, I think last time I was looking at December, October was less, November was higher, and then December was below. So that first quarter, they were lagging. With two big misses on those months. And then January was just a wash, and I was still concerned. I'm like, what's going to happen? But February, March, and April have shown some big beat last year. So, yeah, so that's an encouraging sign. Again, you can see that's not an insignificant amount of revenue. So I really want to major kind of on the majors that we budget over $2.5 million of revenue in DSD. And so that's a significant amount of money to keep an eye on. And it looks like, you know, they'll continue. If things slow down, you'll have to, you know, make decisions relative to next year's budget as far as how to make adjustments. Because like you say, it's sort of a quasi-enterprise funds. As the chairman said, it's a pay-to-play. You're trying to provide services to the paying members of the community. It's a fee for service. So if the fees aren't coming in, then you'll have to reevaluate whether, you know, you need as much staffing, for example, if you're not doing as much work. So, and I'm not trying to suggest right now that that's something that needs to be evaluated, but that's one of those variable type things. There's fluctuations, and you have to make decisions that are more business minded on that. So,
Chief.
And then, Mr. Chair, just kind of an FYI for everybody in the room is, there's two expenses we had for FY25 around Pod 6, the $1.9 million in the justice and the $500,000 in the facilities of that $2.4 million. I talked to Director Britton this morning. He's trying to hold that $500,000 being unspent and use that other places in the budget so we can at least keep those that amount of money unspent to go forward on capital improvement projects. So that last part of the fiscal year, hopefully that'll stay flat at a zero spend out of those projected expenses. So that should help just a little bit.
Yeah.
Chairman?
Yes.
I want to ask the clerk if he has any prepared comments regarding the URA and the levy rates from and the information you got from Ellen Dornfest.
Sure, yeah, Chairman. So we'll render the quarterly report complete and happy to answer this question. So what's interesting is House Bill 389, I'll try to be very brief, and even Mr. Onofre can maybe help on this. There's technicalities based on the timing of the URA, when it came into existence, when it expired, and whether it was subject to that 80% rule, which was kind of the expiring urban renewals as a general rule only come in at 80% of the increment value. So upon further examination and looking at the timing of the Caldwell URA and whatnot, he believes it's not subject to that 80% rule, okay? The thing is, we already made a accounting budgeting decision back in 23 that brought that in at 80%. He believes it should be 90%. So, and the 90% would be more consistent with the logic of an annexation, because annexations come in at 90%. So that rule means when that Caldwell URA expired and it came into the county's base and the city's base and Highway District 4 and all those taxing entities that are affected, they got an 80% increment added to their budget base under the expiring URA. It should be, based on their guidance, 90%. So retroactively, if you go back to 2023, I think for the county, and Steve kind of corroborate the info we've been looking at together, is it's the county's portion is going to be in the low 200,000 part, but it's still pending the state running their numbers. And what we don't know yet is, do you take what that increment would have been then and add on 3% for 24, 3% for 25 to allow that increment to grow? And mathematically, which would be really difficult, is if that increment had been in, it would have changed what the levy rate would have been. The levy rate would have been slightly higher to, you know, very far decimal to the right. But that far decimal to the right over millions and millions of dollars would have also meant another slight change. So we're still waiting to hear how they're going to come up with the math to tell us in the L2s what the increment should be and what the budget implications are. I will say the city of Caldwell did reach out to the city of Caldwell, been playing phone tag with Ray Lynn. They're the most affected entity in this. We're the second most affected. So we think for the city of Caldwell, it's potentially going to be $400,000+. And for the county, it's $200,000+. So this would be in the budget base, your levy capacity, when we do our budget next year or for FY26. When they do the highest of the prior 3 years, they're going to have to adjust that to allow us a higher base out of the starting gate. And then you would add the 3%. And the new construction on top of that. So that adjustment's still pending, but yeah, that's the real-time kind of news on it. And to be clear, the numbers I've thrown out have not come from the Tax Commission. That's just internally Steve and I retroactively redoing the formula and kind of arriving at those numbers as sort of a guesstimate.
Yeah. Chairman?
Yes.
So I want to comment on that. The board attended as a, because we had granted a tax exemption on the tractor supply. So there were mayors and perhaps the chairman, and Commissioner Brooks could speak more to that. There was conversation in Boise Dev and at a Treasure Valley meeting just about the implications of state decisions and how they affect local government. So the 389, the mayor of Nampa, he was there with us discussing what the implications are on trying to meet the need for growth and services given the limitations that the state is putting on cities and counties without really understanding the financial impacts. And then I wanted to comment again ad nauseum Kyle Wilmont's comments regarding the state public defense and the state not meeting the actual costs for providing the public defense. So them doubling the budget, which county had nothing to do with. There's a number of factors in there. I know that Chief Bazzoli and I both testified at that committee hearing, and that fell on deaf ears as far as looking at the cost to actually fund that. So when people want to know why certain aspects, it is coming right down from the state, and when we can't gain traction, so respectfully, but when the speaker does not listen to what's happening at the financial level, that's kind of a snake oil move to say, I don't levy property taxes, but I'm going to pass down ancillary costs for services that we've agreed to provide, and the counties are going to have to absorb that cost. That is information for people that want to know. For the record, it's not county government that's doing that. County government is meeting the needs, and my fellow commissioners, Commissioner Holton has been in that for a long time as mayor, and now commissioners seeing both sides, it's really advantageous and produced some of the best pushback against that when it came out, and then Commissioner Brooks heavily involved at the legislative level testifying. So for people that are in the weeds and in depth, this board is, I think, doing a great job collaborating with fellow elected officials and looking at the budget, what we can do to control costs and still provide excellence in service. And Chairman, I welcome any comments in support of that that you or Commissioner Brooks want to provide.
I could be very succinct. 389 is a very organized and well-written bill that makes very positive and sure that new growth does not pay its way. And they knowingly and on purpose wrote it that way. And there will become a point in time that it's not going to be sustainable. So sooner or later, they're going to have to take care of it.
Now, Chairman, Commissioners, we did, Steve and I did provide a workshop report in the city of Nampa last week on the impacts of 389. And so we're happy to maybe in a future meeting agendize shop on the legislative impacts of 389 plus, I think it was House Bill 673, the land use change one, and I would also respect the assessor's input on that. The fiscal impact to Nampa, we could run the same methodology for the county just to quantify what the total combined effect is of those two pieces of legislation, to not count the change in land value, say from ag to residential, that used to be counted in the new construction formula before but isn't, and then you lop off another 10% on the improvement value. So it is really a double discount in what increment gets left to come into the budget. And so that is creating a challenge for cities are very heavy on the service. I mean, part of us, this unit is, you know, Mayor Holton, a city exists to provide amenities above and beyond the statutorily mandated services that exist primarily at the county and, say, school district level. And so cities, by design, are providing amenities so people don't have to live in a city. But if they live in a city, they expect those amenities. And so if the cities are growing and they are not able to generate the revenue proportionate to provide the level of service, as I think the chairman pointed out, you know, maybe you didn't feel it in year one, you start to feel a little more in year two, and certainly by year three through five and by 10, there's gonna be this compounding gap where people are gonna realize what happened to our level of service. That's because growth is happening and it's not contributing its increment. So everyone has to deal with less. And so I think this was by design. It's no accident, I think, as the chairman mentioned. And, you know, I think the fair discussion that needs to occur with the people who are proud of 389 is they're proud of the millions of dollars of tax relief that they're providing citizens. But the pain point is going to be you can't provide the services that people were expecting. And is several million dollars, which might account to say $30 a household, worth the diminishing level of service that they're experiencing? And you really don't have an option of recapturing that unless you want to do a permanent levy override. And I know the bill sponsors will say, well, fine, if your people aren't happy, take it to the voters, get two-thirds support for a permanent levy override. I can say if no changes happen to 389 and 673, that you will see communities probably over the next 5 to 10 years going to their voters to ask for a permanent levy override, because there is no way for them to stay, maintain level of service if they continue to grow. I just think that's an inevitable, there's an inevitability of that occurring over the next 5 years. The pain point is going to be felt more and more.
Yeah, great comment.
All right. Mr. Brooks has stayed politically neutral through the whole discussion. Sorry. Anything else? Unless the council wants to take comments from the gallery? I shouldn't make the sole decision.
I'm okay if they have anything.
All right. Steve Rose, Steve, come up, state your name. And
Steve Burton, 6915 Canyon Med Court, Star. I just have a couple of questions. Thank you, Commissioner, for letting me ask. But you may have covered it, Kyle, in your presentation, but I couldn't hear everything you were saying. But under the development services, your revenues versus expense, it looks like we're either overcharging or there's expenses that aren't being met. Are they understaffed or something like that, that we're not getting, you know, the percentages should be, I would think, approximately the same. But there's quite a difference between the expense and the revenue.
I think it was the clerk that...
Is there something deferred on the expenses deferred?
And I'm sorry if this causes confusion. So Mr. Burton, I have PowerPlan up, which is more up to date than the quarterly report. So the budget for development services on revenue was about 2.5 mil. I'm just rounding, actually 2.6 if I remember.
48.4%.
And the budget was 3.5 mil for development services. So the budget, if fully realized, the county would actually be expending $1 million more in expenses than taking in revenue for funding DSD by about $1 million if revenue and expenses came in at 100% in each category.
Yeah.
Right now revenues are at like 1.5. So you're looking at the report. I should look there. What are the total expenses that you're seeing?
Well, the percentage of expenses is 24.4%. And your revenue is 48%, 48%. So, is that a timing issue? You have a bunch of expenses the last half of the year.
To a certain extent, it is timing issue because you pay a permit up front, and that's money spent ahead, and you consume that as you go through the process. So, you don't have exact expenses against money paid out in a land app.
That would be kind of carried over from year to year, too.
It does. It depends on how fast it goes through. Most of the time it carries over further than 1 year.
Yeah.
So, Chairman Fisher, right, DSD on the report here is at about $1.2 million in revenues. And then when you look at salaries and benefits and all their expenses, DSDs, is it about 1.47 million? So it's, as the clerk mentioned, they are slated to run a deficit, and they are currently at the end of quarter two in a deficit by $200,000-$300,000, so of expenses over revenues.
Something to think about, I guess, looking at the next budget cycle, whether how that's done.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Burton, are you advocating that the fees need to be higher to cover the expenses associated with development services?
Expenses are lower than your revenue, and obviously that's a revenue generating for the county. I understand that, but how?
I don't think that's actually the case.
They just said they're 300,000 behind.
And you have a summary report, not the detailed one. We can, let me pull that one up just to make sure it doesn't carry. It might be carried over to pay the next page.
That's possible. Yeah. I'll look at it. I don't want to take any more of your time. And then under the ARPA funds, we got a good monthly report, future expenditures projected for the sheriff's office. It shows that there's a pretty good chunk of that money going to be spent in the next fiscal year. Can we change this quarterly report to reflect that next, fiscal year 25 is not going to show that full 28 million. You're not going to hit that in 25.
Correct. Mr. Burton, Chairman, I think the quarterly budget report is really looking at the budget as it was fixed. And I think you bring up a good point that we probably won't adjust. I guess you could hypothetically amend the current budget to lower what you expect to expend out of ARPA. But part of the logic in keeping that high was to have the option for the BOCC, if they were to fully expend those monies in the fiscal year, the authority is already there. If they spend less, you could always spend less. But I see what you're saying. It might inflate what the expectation is that it's going to be spent this year when a lot of it's going to be spent in the next fiscal year. So I think what we're planning on doing is letting next year's budget reflect a lower ARPA amount of what's remaining. Yes. So I think the numbers will become clear the further we progress. But the 28 million is still going to be in here as a reflection of what we put into the budget, and the intention isn't to mislead. I think it was a placeholder to allow the option of fully expending it quicker. If let's say the project was expedited, came in quicker, then we could fully expend it. It's not going to happen.
But I would maybe a line item in your cover report that just says that that's a budget item. But because right now it skews the bottom line, right? And doesn't reflect accurately what's going to happen for real expenditures.
You bring up a good point. It does offset. So ARPA is, and I think the controller can confirm, it's really a intergovernmental fund transfer, I guess, and how so the you will realize the revenue and realize the expense is offsetting. But it does sort of give the impression that we're going to maybe realize more revenue and spend more money than we actually are because of how ARPA is booked in the budget. But I think a qualifying comment to that extent may help inform the public so they don't. And I think this was an issue maybe last budget year or two or fiscal year. The way ARPA is being booked in the budget has created, I think, for the public, some sense of, I heard some comments last year that the county raised the budget, by what, $30 million or whatever, and a lot of that was ARPA. So I'm sure you were, you had to many times provide clarification to citizens that part of the bulk of the budgetary increase the county was realizing was because of ARPA, which is a pass-through. But if you actually don't expend that money, you're not spending up to your budget. So the budget is really the authorization to spend the money, and the ARPA money is already in our possession, and it gives the commissioner some flexibility. But I will take into consideration like a comment that maybe is just a placeholder on ARPA to help maybe clarify how that works.
Graciously stated, clerk.
Okay, anything else? Chief?
Sure. I just want to clarify a little bit on the DSD side of things when you look at the report. So if you look at the revenues of the 48%, you, on the expense side, you have to look at the salaries and the actual hard cost expenses. So at that point, we're at 44% and then 24% of those other two categories. So you kind of have to take the two expense lines and then the revenues and kind of counter that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
The 44% is of a higher amount of money. So that, I think the other thing is not just to look at the percentages. That might be one way of looking at it, but it's 44% spent of a higher amount. And the revenues, so when you look at the revenues and the expenses, the revenues are less than the expenses as budgeted. So the percent can maybe get the give the impression that you're collecting more than you're spending by percentage of budget, but the budget was actually constructed to spend more money than was collected. So that would just be another line to look at in the big picture, I think.
Yes. Point in fact, we are not collecting more than we're spending. And we can easily show that to you, Steve. It's not there. I'd love it to be that it was more closely paying its way, but it still isn't. And the trouble with budgets like this is, like, literally we estimate a certain amount of income. We can clearly define what our chosen expenses are, but the estimated amount of income, that's off of applications and business that still hasn't walked through the door. We're guessing for it, and it may or may not come in, and it may come in more or it may come in less, and it typically never comes in spread out divided by 12. It ebbs and flows.
Yeah, Chairman, I think part of the sticker shock too for the public or those in the development community is that those fees had not been looked at in maybe a decade and so or two. And so to be able to or to look at that, it's just it's not in sync. So I think that's an accurate statement.
Any other comments? Are we at a point where we're okay to close? All right, I'd make a motion that we accept the report as presented.
A second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. If there isn't any other comments or business, I'd make a motion that we adjourn.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. We are adjourned. Thank you.